the World. I'm John Batson with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. He teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago, and he's generously agreed to comment on a recent editorial pointing to a recent event to do with the federal bench and the Federal Trade Commission, especially the chair, Lina Khan, who is a controversial figure, a young person, who is applying her thinking about what is and is not competitive or anti-competitive. In this case, the federal judge, Judge Jacqueline Scott Corley, turned away the FTC's argument that a merger between one company, Microsoft, acquiring another company, Activision Blizzard, was not anti-competitive. This, however, according to the editorial, is reminiscent of a case that the Justice Department, where the Justice Department was successful in 2019, challenging the AT&T-Time Warner merger, which the D.C. Court of Appeals rejected in 2019. So that case and then one other that Professor said we can address as an example, Illumina's acquisition of Grail, blocked by the FTC most recently. This, Professor, in reading this as an amateur, the FTC is concerned about bigness gobbling up rivals and that being anti-competitive. However, in the case of Microsoft and Activision, I don't believe they were in the same business. Activision is a video gamer. Microsoft is chiefly these days the cloud. They don't seem competitive at all. That's quite different from AT&T and Time Warner.
The FTC... that's not quite right, Sean. Microsoft has multiple divisions, one of which is a game division. And one of the reasons that they wanted the merger is they did not have a portal that was effective in dealing with handheld games. And they thought through the merger that they could acquire that. So I think they are more or less in the same industry. But the question is whether these things are competitive or not. And so the best thing to do is to go back and to start at the beginning with respect to the FTC to see what its general mindset is. The standard model of mergers in this case was put forward by a man named Oliver Williamson in 1968, in which he said, you get this merger. In certain cases, there may be an increased concentration in the industry that could give you the capacity to raise prices. But on the other hand, there may be some efficiencies from the merger, which will, in fact, more than offset the restrictive situation in this case.
Enhancing the acquired.
Yes. So what happens is the reason why Ms. Lina Khan is just wrong is you look at the FTC, and they just don't care about the balance. They don't want to examine in any great detail the efficiencies associated with a particular transaction. What they always want to do is to talk about the restrictive effects. And so if the balance is wrong, they don't get it. Now, this leads to all sorts of craziness. And you could tell this when they put out a request for information about how they want to reform the antitrust law. But they did, this is about, I guess it was over 2 years ago, and I did write a response, which was signed by a number of professors. They said, what can we do to strengthen the antitrust law and the enforcement in merger? That's exactly the wrong question to ask. The right question to ask is what we can do in order to improve the law as it relates to mergers and acquisitions. And it may well be that one of the things that you want to do under these circumstances is to relax some of the constraints that are put into place. So the Justice Department and the FTC have this weird calculus. The more mergers they stop, the better they're doing their business, even if the way they stop them is through an interim effect, where they have this enormous power to ask for documentation and information, which can take a long time to get. And by the time you supply that information, the opportunities for gain have passed. And so you block the merger. Now, I regard this as an utterly disastrous policy because we are trying to figure out what's going on and what the odds are. Virtually every merger has some degree of efficiencies associated with its operations. And in a good antitrust application, people will start to tell you exactly what they are. You have complementary goods that you can sell, and if you put them all on the same shelf, it's going to be better to do so. It turns out that certain cost savings with respect to manufacture, production, and distribution and so forth, you can do that. There's certain branding opportunities that you get as a merged company, which you might not get otherwise. And what you can do is put forward what these things are and then ask yourself what's going to happen on the other end. Well, there was a traditional measure for this called the Herfindahl Index, applies best to static markets. And what it says is that we can figure out the concentration that you have in an industry by multiplying the share that each company has by itself. You square it and then add the numbers together. So if there's only one firm, it's got 100% of the market, you square that, and its score is 10,000. And, you know, that's a perfect monopoly. You get two companies of equal size. That's 50 and 50. And so you square each of them and add up. It's all of a sudden it's half the power of the other. So even two firms in a market have a very, very different characteristic than a single firm.
We have one minute, Professor.
Okay. And so what happened is people worry about all this stuff technically, and they generally let mergers go through if they're 5-4 or whatever it is. So in this case, they don't do any of that. The second thing they don't do, just very briefly, is they don't let companies put out contractual limitations on themselves that will prevent market abuse, which was done in all three cases that you met. And these companies know that it's a loser to try to stiff out other companies who are in competition with them at one level of their production, because they have to give more money than they could possibly make by selling their own product exclusively. So she's chasing after a phantom. This woman has not the slightest idea what antitrust law is about, and she's way in over her head. And the sooner that she resigns, the better this country will be.
Professor Richard Epstein for the Hoover Institution, commenting on a recent decision by a federal judge to turn away the FTC's case complaining of a merger or an acquisition by Microsoft of the very famous and prominent, if you talk to millennials, Activision Blizzard. It has a game called Call of Duty, which is beyond my ability to summarize. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Madden.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.